This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 7. Today, we will be discussing the personal narrative of Jonathan Edwards. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hample. What would you think if you knew that in the future you would be best remembered for something you didn't spend a lot of time and effort doing, and least remembered for what you actually did spend most of your time and effort at? If, for example, you were a writer and published 99 books on history and also wrote one fiction novel, would you expect that years later you would be best remembered for that one work of fiction? That is, however, what has happened to one of the most famous theologians and pastors of all time, the 18th century American Jonathan Edwards. Edwards is best known for a sermon he preached in the summer of 1741, entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Many high school or college students know this sermon, as the text of it is often included in anthologies of early American literature. Because Edwards is best remembered for this sermon, it has been assumed that he was a fire and brimstone preacher whose preaching consisted of harsh-sounding sermons which would inflict terror on those hearing his sermons. This is such a distortion of Edwards' legacy. He very rarely preached what we would call today a fire and brimstone sermon. Do keep in mind that he took seriously the Christian doctrine of an eternal hell for those who reject Christ. However, he took this so seriously that on the rare occasions when he did preach such a sermon, he would use a clear but monotone voice. He wanted those in attendance to hear what he was saying and not to be influenced by how he was saying it. Contrary to what people might think of him today, an analysis of Edwards' writings, namely his books, treatises, and sermons, show that terms which appear most often in his writings are words such as Christ, sweetness, joy, and delight. In this episode, we will be looking at one of the hidden treasures of Edwards' writings, namely his personal narrative. Often included with Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God in literature anthologies, the personal narrative seems to be not that well known. It is not known why Jonathan Edwards wrote this narrative. It is a very broad-based autobiographical work which touches on certain key milestones in his pilgrimage of faith. Due to a reference in this work to a Saturday evening in January of 1739, we can know that the personal narrative had to have been written after this date. It was never published in Edwards' lifetime. It does appear in section 4 of Samuel Hopkins' book on Jonathan Edwards, published in 1765, 7 years after Edwards' death. In the first paragraph, Edwards details a time in his boyhood when he was, for lack of a better term, rather religious. He prayed 5 times a day, built a booth in a swamp as a place of prayer, and often discussed religious matters with his friends. Yet the emotions and actions behind them died off over time. In looking back at that time in his life, Jonathan could write, quote, "My affections seemed to be lively and easily moved, and I seemed to be in my element when engaged in religious duties, and I am ready to think many are deceived with such affections and such a kind of delight as I had then in religion, and mistake it for grace." End quote. It is very sobering to realize that one of the foremost Christians in church history, despite having a father who was a faithful Christian minister, could recognize a false conversion in himself. It is a serious warning for us to not confuse having religious fervor with being in Christ. While being a true believer should bring about fervor, having religious fervor is no guarantee that one is a true believer in Christ. Years later, while in college, Edwards suffered from a case of pleurisy, which he thought would almost kill him. Once again, he began to seek out the things of God, but differently this time. He wrote, quote, "I was indeed brought to seek salvation in a manner that I never was before. I felt a spirit to part with all things in the world, for an interest in Christ, my concern continued and prevailed with many exercising thoughts and inward struggles, but yet it never seemed to be proper to express that concern by the name of terror." End quote. This time, it was not the emotional thrills that caused Edwards to go after Christian things. Realizing how mortal he was, he now sought Christ, but did so because he was terrified. In paragraph 4 of the personal narrative, Edwards wrote about what he knew to be his genuine conversion to the faith. He wrote, quote, "The first instance that I remember of that sort of inward, sweet delight in God and divine things that I have lived much in since was on reading those words in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. As I read the words, there came into my soul, and as it were diffused through it, a sense of the glory of the divine being, a new sense, quite different from anything I ever experienced before. Never any words of Scripture seemed to me as these words did. I thought with myself how excellent a being that was, and how happy I should be if I might enjoy that God and be wrapped up to Him in heaven, and be as it were swallowed up in Him forever. I kept saying, and as it were singing over these words of Scripture to myself, and went to pray to God that I might enjoy Him, and prayed in a manner quite different from what I used to do, with a new sort of affection. But it never came into my thought that there was anything spiritual or of a saving nature in this." End quote. There is so much here in just this one paragraph. Note that Jonathan writes about his inward, sweet delight in God. These are not the words of the hellfire and brimstone preacher. These are not the words of someone who delights in telling others that they are bound for hell. Jonathan's reference is of an inward, sweet delight in God. He also mentions that he was converted while reading a passage of Scripture. The living power of God's Word is such that many people, including myself, can look back at one point in our lives when the reading of a passage from the Bible brought us to faith in Christ. Also note that twice in this paragraph, Edwards makes reference to enjoying God, praying that he might enjoy God. Perhaps Jonathan was remembering the very first question and answer from the Westminster Catechism. And that question goes as such. Question: what is the chief end of man? Answer: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. However, even in Christian circles today, how seriously do we take the idea that one facet of the reason why God created us is for us not to grovel before Him, but to enjoy Him? As the narrative continues, Jonathan Edwards mentions his desire for solitude to be with Christ. This takes not only the form of his imagining being with Christ in some solitary place, such as a mountain or a wilderness area, but actually finding time and the place for contemplation on Christ. One instance he gives in the narrative is about walking in his father's pasture for contemplation. Later in the narrative, he wrote about finding solitude in a forest near the village of Northampton. I think this is a good lesson for us. While we might not have a nearby pasture or forest to walk through, we can find a place to be alone with Christ and contemplate upon Him and His Word. It seems to me that for all of our busyness as evangelical Christians, the importance of taking time away from the hustle and bustle to simply be with Christ and dwell upon Him is a practice which is little spoken of and even less practiced. Jonathan wrote about his time as a preacher in New York City, in which the same language and emphasis he mentions before remained with him in New York, but grew even more. During that time in New York, he made a solemn dedication of himself to God. He noted in the narrative, as well as in his famous resolutions, an event that happened on January 12, 1723. And I will quote now from the narrative, quote, "On January 12, 1723, I made a solemn dedication of myself to God and wrote it down, giving up myself in all that I had to God, to be for the future in no respect my own, to act as one that had no right to himself in any respect, and solemnly vowed to take God for my whole portion and felicity. Felicity means great happiness, looking on nothing else as any part of my happiness." End quote. Jonathan wrote about several other occasions when he would seek a solitary place for contemplation upon Christ. During his time in New York, he would sometimes go to a solitary place along the banks of Hudson's River with John Smith, a member of the family at whose house he lodged while in New York City. One instance in particular is from a paragraph in which Edwards wrote about a particular event in 1737. By this time, he had already been established as the pastor in Northampton, Massachusetts for almost a decade, and quoting from the narrative, "Once, as I rode out into the woods for my health in 1737, having alighted from my horse in a retired place, as my manner commonly has been, to walk for divine contemplation and prayer, I had a view that was for me extraordinary of the glory of the Son of God as mediator between God and man, and his wonderful, great, full, pure, and sweet grace, and love, and meek, and gentle condescension. This grace that appeared so calm and sweet appeared also great above the heavens. The person of Christ appeared ineffably excellent, with an excellency great enough to swallow up all thought and conception, which continued, as near as I can judge, about an hour, which kept me the greater part of the time in a flood of tears and weeping aloud. I felt an ardency of soul to be, what I know not otherwise how to express, emptied and annihilated, to lie in the dust and to be full of Christ alone, to love him with a holy and pure love, to trust in him, to live upon him, to serve and follow him, and to be perfectly sanctified and made pure with a divine and heavenly purity. I have several other times had views very much of the same nature and which have had the same effects." End quote. Consider that Jonathan Edwards is considered to have one of the greatest, if not the greatest, theological and philosophical mind ever produced in America. Yet, he did not treat his great learning in scripture and Christian theology, as well as his own profound insights into the faith, as somehow being detached from a heart and a love for Christ. Rather, as one knows Christ better, the sense of love, affection, and joy in him should increase, not decrease. In all of this, having a lot of Christian head knowledge should move our hearts to affection in him and wanting to act on behalf of others. If it doesn't, something is wrong. I will provide a link to the personal narrative as well as a link to Jonathan Edwards' 70 resolutions. Please take the time to read the personal narrative. It is relatively short. However, it is a wonderful testimony from a man who had such a tremendous mind for Christ and also had a tremendous, deep, abiding and growing love and heart for Christ as well. Let me close with one more quote from the narrative. It speaks of the period which Jonathan Edwards spent in New York. It was his view of the Bible. Would that that view be ours as well. Quote, "I had then, and at other times, the greatest delight in the Holy Scriptures of any book whatsoever. Oftentimes in reading it, every word seemed to touch my heart. I felt a harmony between something in my heart and those sweet and powerful words. I seemed often to see so much light exhibited by every sentence and such a refreshing food communicated that I could not get along in reading, often dwelling long on only one sentence to see the wonders contained in it. And yet, almost every sentence seemed to be full of wonders." Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.